Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the Riptide. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Brewers, it's time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my Bruin brothers and sisters.
Greetings.
The Cretan himself.
Indeed.
And greetings from warm and balmy Indiana.
Well, you're in southern Indiana, right? So, yeah.
Mostly northern. Oh. We're a couple hours from Chicago.
All right. We have John Blickman on with us as well. He is the sponsor of Brew Strong and has been for a long time. You can go to Blickman Engineering, blickmanengineering.com, and check out all the goodies there. They have all sorts of cool things like the Brew Easy. They've got the Cornicle. They got all sorts of goodies to improve your brew day. Always coming out with new stuff, so you want to go back to the website every so often and check it out. And if you get a chance, say thank you to our fine sponsor, Mr. John Blickman. Send an email to feedback at blickmanengineering.com and tell him thank you for paying for the show so you don't have to. Let's see here. Last cast, we were talking about measurements, and we're going to do a series of shows about measurements in the brewery environment and why they're important, how you do them, different devices, the pros and cons of different devices, and how you might utilize them. And in the last show, we talked about temperature. And there's quite a bit to it. I mean, really, there's a lot of devices that can be used, and they have different purposes. There's the calibration, and there's a lot of ways to use them, which I thought was a really good show. And if you were to say, what's the most critical measurement in the brewery? Would you say temperature?
Probably temperature, but volume is definitely critical too, because without that, it gets real hard to know your efficiencies.
Right. Or, I mean, it becomes tricky. Densities are a big one, like specific gravity.
Yeah. Weights. That's why we're doing the measurement shows, because all these things are related.
That's right.
It's like picking your favorite kid, unless they all drive you crazy, but, all those measurements are important. It's really hard to pick one that is more important than the other. The answer is it depends.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things to kind of briefly recap is the concepts of resolution, accuracy, and precision. So resolution is kind of how fine an increment you can measure, right? So it'd be the number of zeros past the decimal point, or the number of lines on a ruler, mm-hmm. let's say, or the number of graduations on a graduated cylinder. You can interpolate between two points, but really it's that's your resolution. And then precision is really the repetitiveness of that measurement, the ability to measure it, you know, exactly the same over and over again. The more those readings fall exactly the same every time, the more precise that is. And then the concept of accuracy. It doesn't matter your resolution or your precision if accuracy is off. So if you're measuring consistently, but it's the wrong measurement, it's not the right value, then your accuracy has suffered. And so one of the things you can do, you can't really, often you cannot change the resolution or the precision of a device, but you can change the accuracy. You can calibrate that device to bring accuracy back towards what a correct reading is. So, and I would say, having done this myself, if you can't, you have a thermometer that can't be calibrated, doesn't have like an adjustment nut on it or something like that, you put a big piece of blue sticky tape on it with, you know, plus five or whatever, however many degrees it's off, to remind yourself every time you use it what the variance is from your calibration point. All right. Volume. Mr. Palmer.
Yes.
You talked about volume. Why is measuring volume accurately important?
Well, in brewing, it's because we are trying to produce wort and beer. And, you know, that's the money right there. Mm-hmm. So without accurate volume measurements, we don't know how much we're producing, and we could be losing money. Mm-hmm. We could be, you know, there are losses that can occur in the pipes and in, you know, day-to-day use. And if you don't know what those are, then you're losing money. But volume, volume calculations and measurements are, so they're really at the heart of what we do. Mm-hmm. Just spent the last show talking about temperature and how, you know, temperature affects density, and that density affects, you know, changes in density, changes in temperature affect the volumes that result. So,
So it's important to be able to measure temperature accurately in order to get your volume accurately.
That's correct. Yes.
Well, and one of the things about volume also is fermentation. Again, everything comes back to fermentation being the most important thing in brewing. And if you don't know your volume, you really don't know, you know, how much yeast you should be using. You can't repetitively ferment something. If one time you ferment something and it turns out great, and you used a certain amount of yeast, so you're telling yourself, yeah, next time I'm going to do exactly the same thing, but your volume has changed because you're having trouble measuring your volumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then same specific gravity, but different volume.
You end up pitching more or less yeast, and the beer turns out different. Oh, it turned out sweeter. I wonder why. Oh, it turned out drier. Oh, it turned out this way. It turned out that way. Well, if you can't measure volumes, if you can't measure temperatures, if you can't measure, you're going to struggle as a brewer. I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of engineer types tend to do well in brewing is because they tend to be about measurement.
We understand these things. Yes.
Right.
And volume to me, or repeatability is, to me, is one of the most important reasons why volume should be measured and measured accurately.
Well, it's the most important thing in brewing is repeatability, because without it, you cannot improve your beer. You can't, you know, you make those little tweaks without being able to repeat the process.
That's true. Yes, I agree.
And then there's that satisfaction of just hitting numbers spot on, whether they need to be that spot on or not. There's just that satisfaction.
I know Blickman's all about the zeros. You know, the amount of precision after decimal point. No? You guys not following me?
That's
what
the fun is.
It's all about the zeros. I think you need a shirt that says that, John.
I'll get on that.
It's all about the zeros. Well, and Mr. Palmer, what are the types of volumes. There's actually, when we're speaking volumes, what are we speaking about? The volume of a liquid, for one, yeah. Brewing. What other kind of volumes are there?
Well, I think as far as brewers go, I mean, we got your liquid volumes and your gas volumes. Mm-hmm. Liquid volumes are the ones we work with most, but gas volumes come into play with the volumes of CO2, you know, carbonation levels that get put into the beer. Mm-hmm. We talk about pressures, you know, volumes of fermenters and the effects that it has on yeast.
Right. Solids, the amount of grain that goes into a mash tun and the space that takes up.
Particular weight of a grain will take up a certain volume. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of people calculate, or, you know, they run their day-to-day operations based on a volume in a kettle. Mm-hmm. You know, looks like it's full. Okay, we're shutting off this valve and we're, you know, starting this procedure, mm-hmm. you know, this step. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, measuring volume accurately is very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, even measuring of volumes, you know, small volumes that we sometimes take for granted, measuring things like acid that we're going to put into a just brewing liquor, or finings that we're putting into a fermenter, to, you know, even the firm cap. You know, measuring those small volumes.
Right. I'll throw this out there. I think, you know, measuring the small volumes may be more important than measuring the really large volumes. You know, measuring the, you know, half ounce of, you know, whatever it is you need, a nutrient or something like that, versus the 10 gallons of water. If you're off the 10 gallons of water, you know, by an ounce, it's not a big deal. If you're off, an ounce on measuring your half ounce, it's a huge deal. So you got to be careful. Well, you know, one of the interesting things I found when talking about volumes is people tend to reference sound as measured by volume, right? Isn't that weird? That's a different kind of volume.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Right. They talk about the volume of sound, but it's really pressure, I think. But it is. It's measured in dBs, but
there's pressure and energy.
Right. So I just thought that was weird. So I kind of added it to the list, which probably confused y'all. My sound was on the list.
But, I was wondering that, and now that makes sense, because I've taken classes in environmental sound and noise, and never really
was that court mandated?
Liquid to volume sound.
Was that court mandated?
Well, I guess you're filling an auditorium with sound, therefore the volume.
You didn't get my court mandated. Come on. I thought that was gold. Scott appreciated it.
I was here. I got it.
There you go. At least I'm getting some positive reinforcement for my incredible effort. Yeah. And you guys are still saying nothing. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
We don't know how to react to that.
I missed it.
The things that come out. Yeah.
Let's take a short break so I can regain my composure and... We'll be back to talk more about volumes right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperatures aperture rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Back to your hosts, Jamil Zainasheff and John Palmer. Putting the testicles in technical, this is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking about measurements on this on a series of shows, and just because it is very important to your brew day, and I've got me two of my favorite people. I've got my Johns with me. I've got my John Palmer, and I've got my John Blickman.
Indeed.
If you threw in my John Plisse, I'd be in John heaven.
You'd be complaining.
There you go. All right.
John's so, French for awesome.
Is it?
No, okay. I just made that up.
All right. Well, sure. Probably. It sounds French.
Could be. Or it's French. Awesome. Yeah.
Jean. Or French for toilet. I don't know which one.
Well, there's Jean from Cantillon is Jean Vanois, which I believe is King of the Awesomes.
King of the toilet?
King of the toilets.
Yes.
Perfect.
Sometimes I feel like I'm king of the toilet. All right. Make that toilet suffer.
That conversation went to crap.
Hey, c'est Jean de la Brasserie Cantillon.
All right. Speaking of going to crap, all right, which read should I do now? Man, this is not good. Let's go with Grogtag. Grogtag, yeah. You don't want speaking of going to crap, you don't want your labels to be crap. You spent all this hard time making your homebrew, and then you put some crap label on the thing, and you hand it to somebody, and they're just like, You put a nice label on it, they're going to actually, drink with their eyes. It makes a big difference. And Grogtag is your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs to high-quality coasters, and everything is customizable. So get creative over on grogtag.com with one of our hundreds of templates, and we'll print it on high-quality materials and ship it out to you. It's easy. Check out grogtag.com today and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order. That's grogtag.com. All right, let's get back to the information at hand. Mr. Blickman, so we know volumes are important. We use them all the time in brewing. How do we measure volume, and how do we measure it accurately?
It's like the thermometer, the previous episode, where having a known volume is one of the key operatives. Now, what I've recently started doing that I found to be the most accurate for measuring larger volumes is to do it with weight, particularly specifically with water. So if I want to check the gradations in my level gauge, for example, that's in a kettle, or I just want to mark the 5 gallon mark on a bucket so I know exactly where that is, or even if I want to, you know, if I've got a, you know, my calibrate, I think most homebrewers started with the calibrated spoon, where they just put a mark on their stirring spoon from the bottom of the kettle to be able to measure their volumes. My favorite way to do that is to get an accurate scale. We'll talk about measuring weights later, but if you can get an accurate scale, and we know that if we have room temperature water, that water is going to weigh 8.34 pounds per gallon. So what I can do is fill that vessel and then tear it out, or actually put the vessel on the scale, tear it out to zero, and then I can fill that up to a certain weight, and then I can mark that on that vessel. And that I found is to be the most repeatable way,
right,
to do that.
It's one of the ways that we also have a distillery at Heretic, and so one of the things that I learned through having a distillery is the TTB. One of the things they're very, very particular about having super precise measurements of everything, because they don't want a quarter of an ounce of spirits to go out that hasn't been taxed. It seems like their greatest concern. And so they suggest one of their ways, approved ways, is weighing a container of liquid and go by weight. That's one of the things that they highly recommend, versus how are you determining volumes, they want to know. And it's like, you know, a marked vessel, things like that. And, you know, when you're dealing with, 55-gallon drums, those roto-molded drums, they don't have anything coming close to precision in their measurements.
Absolutely not.
So, we get a 400-pound scale or a 600-pound scale, and we put the drums on it, and then we'll weigh it using that. And, you can get down to, even if you're talking about, 0.2 of a pound or something like that, it's still much more precise than a lot of these other measurements.
I've even noticed, we've had customers call in that are, they're questioning some gradation marks on a vessel, and they're saying it's off by 15% or 10%. And we always ask, well, how did you measure that? And one of the common ways is they say, well, I have this bucket that has a mark on it. And right. So I just, I fill that bucket up to that thing very as accurately as I could read on the meniscus and all that, and then I poured it in and repeated that 5 times. And, even have had people with graduated cylinders or Erlenmeyer flasks that you see, have, the 1 liter, 2 liter marks on them. And, and it's because it's on there and it comes from this lab type thing, people have this impression that they're super, super accurate. And generally, if you look into it, they'll say, yeah, it's plus or minus 10%. And so every time you fill that and pour it in, you're just magnifying how much that's off by as many times as you fill it. So like we go back to, hey, I need to have a volume reference. If you don't have an accurate scale, if you can find somebody that does, you can get a vessel that you mark at, a quart, a gallon, 5 gallons, whatever, and you just have that vessel that's what you use it for, and you have it marked accurately, then you now know that is my air quote calibrated bucket.
Well, and again, it has to be at a specific temperature, because volume changes with temperature, and a degree or two isn't that big a deal. But if you're measuring something at 60 degrees and you're measuring it at 120 degrees, there's a
big
substantial difference. And it really, really does add to it. And you can also get the calibrated labware, if you're looking for graduated cylinders or something like that. But like you're saying, measuring that way is certainly handy. One of the things that I liked when I originally got into home brewing and I was dealing with more beer, and they had their kettles that gave you a specific gallons per, you know, inches, or, you know, 1.4 inches is a gallon. And so I just used, I started using with a yardstick, just stuck that in there, and it was quite accurate. I mean, it was
that
real
is
well done
yet another way to measure volume is just to calculate it.
Right.
You know, if it's a round device, you know, or a rectangular device, mm-hmm. it's fairly straightforward to do those calculations.
Well, and they provided that number, which I really liked. You know, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. this, and yeah, different kettles could vary slightly, you know, when they're made, I guess, but not by much, versus, you know, putting lines on a bucket or something like that. I think that really is where the variance comes in.
Yeah. Well, and you know, going back to our discussions of resolution, I mean, we have much better resolution when it comes to weight and scales mm-hmm. than we do on volumes.
Absolutely.
At these larger volumes.
Right.
So, yeah, we can dial in a weight to be within, mm-hmm. you know, 10 grams. That's a very small difference in volume mm-hmm. compared mm-hmm. to, right. you know, liters or gallons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you can get your kettle and you can put on a scale, mark it every gallon. Just keep repeating the eight odd gallons of water and or 8 odd pounds of water, and each point you can put a mark or calibrate your stick. I always enjoyed the stick. I love putting my stick in the kettle. And, you know, my stick became quite my friend.
It's old school, and there's something cool about old school.
Right. The measurement stick. You know, you can whittle your own, you know, but I just used a, you know, like a sewing goods store yardstick. It was quite the thing, and it did not wear off in the boil, as you might think. Whatever lead-based paint they used really stuck. That's what I'm going to say.
That's explaining a lot now.
Yeah. I can just see you there, Jamil, Joanne Fabrics, waving your yardstick around.
Yeah, there you are.
Homebrew in hand.
The important thing to know, though, is, you know, if you're calibrating this thing on cold, on a scale, that's the true volume. But once it's boiling, your volume has changed, and now your marks have changed. So
yeah, that's very true.
This is one of the reasons I like the stick, and you can you know how many inches, and it was always repeatable for me. If I'm doing a 5 gallon batch, I needed this number of inches. 10 gallon batch, I needed this number of inches. My pre-boil is this number of inches. My post-boil, if I'm doing something different, I could calculate out how much that would be different. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, you know, is essentially variable marks versus marking gallons in the kettle. But, you know, still having marks in the kettle, you can calculate out. Generally, you know, I always go 4% difference between, you know, when the liquid's boiling, it's expanded to 4%.
Mm-hmm. That was often you have to explain to people that things do get smaller when it gets cold.
Right. There is shrinkage.
Yes.
When things are cold.
But it comes back around once you warm it up.
Yes. With heat becomes expansion. All right. Well, and a little bit more about known measures. I think, you know, you can have. I would suggest if you're getting the scale, and you're going to check things. I would. You know, there's nothing wrong with graduated cylinders. I mean, they're very handy when you're measuring out smaller amounts.
Well, yeah, but, 1 liter or something. Yeah.
Yeah, or you know, even you know, 10 mil. I mean, you can get them. The thing is to check them and make sure that they are accurate. Make sure that you know you're calibrate them. When we talked in the previous show about calibration's a very important part of anything that you're using to measure. I do stuff out here with the air base, and they have part of the squadron that does calibration of all the tools that they use to fix the airplanes and test everything on the airplanes, right? So they have this one group that's all they do is make sure everything is actually truly measuring what it's measuring. And then that group, they have like a separate government place that tests the test tools that they use to test the tools that are used to fix the airplanes. So, and I'm sure that government place, they're you know, basing it off of the standard, that piece of whatever it is that they use to measure a kilogram. You know, when they, you know, the isotope decays for time, everything, you know, so it's super precise because people's lives depend on it. But, you know, it's an important part of, you know, their process is to make sure their tools are calibrated. And, you know, if you calibrate something once, I would, you know, maybe you make an annual thing of it or something where, especially temperature and things like that, volume maybe not nearly as much, but, you know, calibration can be a serious part of your, you know, brewing process. Let's see, pipettes, accuracy of pipettes. What do you think?
They're
generally, I agree there. And a lot of time with pipettes, what you're doing in our burettes, you're going from one mark to another mark. You're not, you know, draining it completely. So you're generally looking at, delta volumes, and you know, so if they get the markings not in the right spot on the glass tube or plastic tube,
right,
that's not as vital as having the correct distance between the graduations.
Well, and you can do the same thing with a graduated cylinder as well. So
And then one of the other things too is, you know, is to recognize too, you know, I guess it's kind of like the difference between cooking and baking. With baking, you need to be very precise. With cooking, you have to be close. And you've just got to decide, you know, okay, do I really need to measure this down to a hundredth of a gram?
Right.
Or is a gram close enough? You know, so, you know, that's one of the other things to factor in, and it kind of depends what it is you're doing. Like, Jamil, if you're measuring zinc for your fermentation, better get that pretty close.
Right.
Because you're using such a dinky amount.
Right. That could be the difference between, you know, a lack of nutrition for your yeast in some big beer or poisoning your yeast. One of my favorite tricks is when you're trying to measure something and it's a very small amount, is to mix it with something else to make it, you know, more dilute, and then measure that. So if you're needing, you know, a tenth of a gram of, you know, zinc powder, zinc heptahydrate or monohydrate or whatever you're using, instead of trying to measure that, you could take a whole gram, let's say, that you can measure accurately, put that in a, you know, a liter of water, and then use 100 mils of that water. And you could probably measure 100 mils fairly accurately.
That's
so
right.
That way you're changing the scale that you're trying to measure, and your resolution becomes essentially better, and your precision becomes better because you're working on a larger scale. And really tiny amounts are tough to measure with very much precision, and because of the resolution becomes really small. And so it tends to suffer that way. But by dilution or things like that, you can actually improve your accuracy.
Yeah, and that's particularly true with dry chemicals that you're trying to get dissolved into a vessel as well, so you don't have end up with a chunk that just falls to the bottom and never dissolves.
Right, you can ensure it's pre-dissolved in the.
Yeah, that's a super common way to do sulfite additions in winemaking, is you make up a solution of 10 grams per 100 mil. And you can meter that out pretty easily.
Okay. All right. Why don't we do this? Let's take another break. And when we come back, we'll continue with more about measurements in the brewery right after this.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customerclub, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Lab swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customerclub. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
Learning to brew has never been so disgusting. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. I want to tell you about our good friend, Michael Fairbrother. Longtime BN homie. He wants you guys to check out MoonlightMeadery.com. He's been in the homebrew game and mead brewing for a long time. He's been around. If you know, he's one of the old folks, like me.
A couple years away from a home, that guy.
Yeah, a couple. That's generous. So Moonlight Meadery, they've got mead for any occasion. Moonlight meads are the reference standards for mead categories in the BJCP style guidelines. And right now you can save 10% on two or more bottles by using BN Army at the MoonlightMeadery.com shop. Wonderful, delicious category-defining Moonlight mead. Check them out and let them know we sent you. Use BN. Use code BN Army at checkout at moonlightmeadery.com/shop.
Boom.
All right. So we're talking about volumes. You know, it's a critical part of the brewing process, and we had some ideas for how to measure your volumes, how to improve the precision of your measurements, and you know, taking into account the difference in volume for temperature. Anything else that you guys might have to comment on volume?
Well, I was just thinking as we were reviewing that. I mean, if you go back to the efficiency show in the archives, we talk about, you know, measuring volume, measuring gravity, and how, you know, those gravity points are, you know, very much where we're measuring our efficiencies.
Right. Strictly, you know, linked to volume.
Yeah. That is, you know, points per pound per gallon, points per liter per kilogram. That's how we determine our efficiencies and, you know, the economics for what we make. So that's temperature figures into that, of course. Temperature can change volume. And as John brought up earlier, but weight is constant with temperature. So if you know the mass of the wort that you should be producing, or the mass of an addition you intend to make to your wort, then you can measure that by weight. That is, that can be a much more accurate and repeatable method than relying on volume alone.
Oh, you know, one thing that I think we neglected to cover was flow meters as well in the commercial brewery.
Oh, yes.
Flow meters are fairly common. And there's a, you know, there's a whole bunch of different types of meters available. And probably the most common and the cheapest is like the Hall effect, the little paddle wheel type meters. You can get them off of eBay fairly cheap. And they have an accuracy, but not if your density of your liquid or the amount of air in your liquid changes. right? So if you are measuring, I use them for measuring incoming water into the brewery. I measure the water that goes to the brew plant. I measure the water that goes to rinsing down everything, you know, clean the floors. I measure the water that goes to the tap room. And in this way, I've gotten my sewage fees reduced, which helps a lot. You'd be surprised how much that helps. And those were all with inexpensive paddle wheel sensors from eBay and used, George Fisher meters. But, you know, trying to measure wort, there's a few problems. Or trying to measure something like yeast, if you're doing yeast pitching, flow meters that work more off of capacitance, right? And the capacitance of the liquid that's going through. And so density plays a part in that. So it also is kind of responding to the density of the liquid that's passing by. And so it's less affected by some of these factors, as such as temperature or, the amount of air in it or, yeast or something like that. Because it can be very tricky, especially if you're trying to inject in oxygen into the line and you're trying to measure how much is going through. They're not perfect, but they certainly be helpful. If I was setting up an automated homebrew setup, I would definitely use some of these little paddle wheel sensors from eBay, that come from China with a meter already hooked up. They can be quite precise and fun and easy to use. They even have solenoids for turning on and off, like a valve. If you want to fill your kettle to 10 gallons, you punch in 10 gallons and off it runs, and it'll shut it off when it reaches the top, which could be a lot of fun.
How much does one of those go for?
I've seen them with the meters for like $30, I think. You'd need the on-off solenoid still, yeah. But you can get those pretty cheap, especially if it's small gauge stuff like half inch. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. And for homebrew, if you're passing it through a filter, you don't want to go very quick anyway. So you can get yourself like a quarter inch and just, kind of restrict the flow.
What skills do you recommend for more commercial setups? I mean, beyond half inch, I mean, what sizes usually use?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. So, if you're moving something like wort or especially yeast slurries, you're going to need a larger meter, and you're going to want a capacitance meter. You're not going to want a paddle meter, and those, you're going to need inch and a half, 2 inch. Maybe as large as 2.5 inch, depending on what you're doing. If you're moving wort, we knock out about a barrel a minute. So you need something that will handle that volume again, inch and a half and up. But for a smaller brewery, you can get down to inch, maybe even 3/4 on something like a nano brewery. We're going to do some nano brewery shows coming up too, so... for those of you who want to go from homebrewing to nanobrewing commercially, we got it coming. We're working on all this for you.
Yeah. I'm curious, Jamil. You've mentioned these capacitance flow meters. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking electrical capacitance, the capacitance of the medium that you're measuring?
I'm not sure. No, it's got two... two probes that I believe that measure, it must be resistance or something across the liquid. Mm. So if you look inside them, it's a smooth tube. This is a sanitary tube, but you see two little circles in there.
So double penetration then.
It's doubly penetrated. Yes. I wish I could pull up some names right now. I've got some from Toshiba. I've got some from a couple other companies. And they're pretty good. The problem is getting them properly calibrated, like anything else. And so, you know, with that kind of volume, and you know, you can't just calibrate them with anything. You want to calibrate them with, you know, something that represents what you're really doing. So for us, it tends to be wort traveling at a barrel a minute.
Okay.
And you're either coming out of the centrifuge or, you know, going into a tank. And so I think we kind of got it dialed in, but it can be a challenge.
Have you used ultrasonic flow meters in the past?
Did we have one? I think I got one for the distillery, like a cheapy one that didn't work very well for some reason.
I've had mixed luck with them, but that was years ago, and I've heard now they're quite a bit more consistent and reliable.
Huh. Yeah, that might be. And I guess the ultrasonic, again, is essentially measuring density.
It is. Mm-hmm. Transit time.
Right, right. So it's interesting. You know, technologies change, and a lot of the measurement problems people have is based off of the what they're trying to measure. You know, how fast it's traveling. Especially, I mean, you're measuring a moving volume of liquid or a moving volume of, you know, mm-hmm. solids carried in a liquid or whatever you might do. It becomes tricky. You know, volumes, you know, when they're moving, I don't know, but you know, you've got a known diameter, I guess is what they're doing. And, you know, if you know how much is passing across that diameter at a given speed, in a certain density, then there's your answer. That's mm-hmm. how the paddle wheels work. They, with the number of clicks of the paddle wheel, they assume that whole, cylinder was packed with, liquid at its whatever density. It doesn't care what the density is, although, get too much air in those tend to get a little funky too.
Yeah.
And in a
that's
port.
Been my experience has been like the turbine flow meters or
right.
pedal wheel flow meters are pretty darn reliable. And let's not discount for the, you know, it when you're home brewing, it's actually extremely accurate. And that is the bucket fill test,
right.
You know, where you have a known volume and you have a stopwatch,
right.
You know, and that's great when you're, you know, it's not giving you, you know, a real time flow rate, but that's great when you know you want to spend 45 minutes sparging, for example, and, mm-hmm. and you just want to know, well, how fast does that look like when it's coming out of the hose or whatever?
Right.
You can just do that little, you know, that simple test and go, okay, that's about where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it doesn't have to be super precise, it can be as simple as that.
Right, right. Well, and I know our listeners, they like to play around with a lot of this stuff and this technology. And, you know, you can make up a nice kind of sparging thing using you know, one of these flow meters and a solenoid and you know, precise amount of sparge mm-hmm. water, and because people want to know. I never really cared. I just used more sparge water than was really needed and just, you know, layered it on top and just drained it all at the end if I didn't mm-hmm. care, you know, what exactly how much I was using. But you know, for filling your mash tun, things like that, it can be nice. One other thing about the flow meters is that your run up to and your exit from the meter generally requires a straight pipe, you know, unobstructed, same diameter, so that you're trying to get a nice linear flow as it goes through the mm-hmm. meter.
Well, laminar flow, yeah.
Yeah. If the flow is turbulent, that can mess up the meter as well. So that,
yeah.
That can
usually the good rule of thumb is about 10 diameters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a straight length of at least up. 10 diameters.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, very important. Let's see.
You know, pressure is another way to measure volume. I've seen in, you know, static tanks, non-flow moving, when you're talking about flow. This just popped into my head as you were talking about gauging. Mm-hmm. But where you, you just measure the static pressure, and, you know, if you've got a cylindrical tank, you can use that for actual volume measurement.
Well, yeah, essentially weight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or it's pressure, you know, so you just know what the mm-hmm. static pressure is that's pushing on it.
Right.
And then you correlate that to the diameter of the tank.
You're talking about the water pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. Like depth of water. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually have a sensor for that, too, on our hot liquor tank. We measure the fill on a hot liquor tank by pressure. And then we have a cold liquor tank where we just measure the fill by an ultrasonic to see the distance to the top of the mm-hmm. top of the water, because we just want the thing to be full. So we don't really care. Well, we care how much is in there, but it doesn't have to be super precise, and we just want to know, is it half full? Is it three-quarter full? Is it full? That's the type of volume measurement we need there.
It's amazing how many ways people have figured out over the years to measure things both mm-hmm. directly and indirectly. It's kind of neat.
Because everything relies on it. You know, there's mm-hmm. no repeatability without it. And without repeatability, you can't really do things and improve things. And improving things is all about it. Let's do this. Let's take one more break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up with our thoughts about measuring volume right after this.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, The Forum, The Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. I want to tell you about the AHA and their fine Brew Guru mobile app. If you love brewing and you love saving money on beer, you need the Brew Guru in your corner. This app offers a searchable database of homebrew recipes, including popular craft beer clones and hundreds of award-winning recipes. But even more important than that, the Brew Guru has a searchable map of deals at breweries, beer bars, and homebrew shops. It's going to save you a ton of money. Grab the free Brew Guru app for iPhone and Android devices and follow the path to good beer. All right. So let's wrap up our thoughts about measuring volume.
Okay. It's deep and wide, and
it's important.
It's important, yeah.
Yeah, to me, the big thing with volume is to actually consistently measure it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're doing your brew day, I brewed this before, I'm just going to do this. You know, I think it's important to really pay attention to the volumes and essentially all of your measurements so that you can get that repeatability and consistency and so where you know where you're at and so that you can use that to continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, consistency of measurement system. That's a really good point, John. Yeah.
Well, without
consistency in the device you use to measure something, the timing of it, and, you know, looking for that repeatability.
Right. Without it, you don't have repeatability. Without repeatability, you don't have consistency. Without that, you don't have the ability to improve your beer. You're never going to improve your beer if you can't make it the same way twice. You can't make it the same way twice if you're not measuring things, if you're not accurately measuring things. You shouldn't freak out if you're off by a couple of cups in a 10-gallon batch, but you should freak out if, like some emails I've gotten, oh, yeah, my batch, it turned out, and I'm like 10 points low on gravity. Oh, it must be something. It's like, well, did your volume change? I don't know. What is your volume? I don't know. You mm-hmm. know, it's a 10-gallon batch. It's like, well, it's a 10-gallon batch recipe, but what liquid volume did you have at the start of the boil, at the end of the boil? How much grain did you use? I mean, you can't really figure out problems in your brewing process until you can measure accurately. And volume is a big part of that. So, I passionately implore you all to focus on volume and these other measurements in brewing.
You remind me of an email we were discussing a couple of weeks ago where we were trying to help a brewery with some issues, and they didn't have good log sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Again, without, you know, log sheets, without measurements and consistent mm-hmm. log sheets and record keeping to track them, they had no way to improve.
Right. I've got no doubt your brewery's no good because, you know, you don't even log what you're doing. You know, if you can't mm-hmm. track, and that's another part. You know, we talked about log sheets before, but the purpose of the log sheet is to write down these measurements, the measurements of temperature, the measurements of volume, the measurements of time, you know, weights, pressures, lengths, you know, all these mm-hmm. things, because that is how you know what happened when something went wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I make my guys write down absolutely everything. And even, you know, when a lot of malt changes, this is the only way that you can figure out that something is an issue and how to resolve it. You know, when something goes wrong, you look to the log sheet. What that log sheet is a log of measurements. So,
and for homebrewers, you know, one of the things that I find is, geez, I haven't brewed this beer in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back to those log sheets, or you can go back to Beersmith or whatever it is you use and go, oh, this is what I did then. And here's some of my notes so that I know that if I brew this again, this little thing went wrong. I'm going to do something different, or it didn't taste exactly like I wanted it. Then I don't remember what it was 2 years ago, but if I've written it down, then I can make those changes and improvements. And if I'm not documenting and measuring, I really don't know where to go from there after I haven't brewed this thing in 2 years.
That's an excellent point. All right. On that point, we'll end it. I think that was another excellent show. I think very, very useful. It may seem a little dry to some people, but I'm telling you, this is all important to be a great brewer, especially if you want to make the transition from, homebrew to commercial. You need these skills in your box. You can't just go and continue to brew without log sheets, without details. So keep this in mind. Make sure to check out all our fine sponsors, Moonlight Meadery, Grog Tag, AHA, everybody else, and especially Blickman Engineering. Go to BlickmanEngineering.com. Check out all their cool ways of innovating your brew day there. Send an email to feedback@BlickmanEngineering. Tell John how much you appreciate him paying for the show so you don't have to. And you can check out the Brewing Network store, thebrewingnetwork.com/store. There's all sorts of goodies there. There's hoodies, there's hats, there's shirts, there's all manner of things that you can get to show that you support the network that you love and all the fine shows that are on it. Till then, everybody, brew strong.
Brew strong, everyone.